Hello, my name is Catherine Watt. I'm an American paralegal and writer. And thank you to the organizers of the Northern Light Convention who invited me to give a presentation as part of their event that's going on June 15th to the 17th in Bornholm, Denmark. The invitation was fun because it said, speak on anything you want for 10 to 60 minutes. So I decided to do a presentation on the American laws that are enabling the global democide and to focus on suggestions for legislators, especially in the United States, litigants and litigators, the lawyers that are handling some of these cases. For background, for those who don't know what my work contribution is to the global project. I have put together a timeline of changes to American law that have made the fraud, theft, mass murder program, especially in the United States, happen and keep happening because it is technically legal, even though the laws themselves are anti-laws and will eventually be found to be illicit and not lawful. They are currently being enforced, and that's why the whole program has gone on for as long as it has without the courts and the states and the people being able to bring it to an end. The main piece that I've written is called the American Domestic Bioterrorism Program. And that's just a timeline of the changes in US law that camouflage this intentional democide as a public health emergency response. And you can find that at my website, which is Bailiwick News on Substack. For a general overview, the congressional activity on these related laws was sort of kicked off in the 1910s, especially with the Federal Reserve Act. Then there was a little bit of a lull, and then there was another surge of activity in the 30s and 40s, and those were the laws that set up the administrative state apparatus. Then there was a little bit of a lull, and then another surge in the 1960s and 70s while they built up the chemical and biological warfare programs, research and development. And then in the late 90s, early 2000s, right up to the present, they built up the public health emergency program. And essentially, what happened is what was a chemical and biological warfare program and is prohibited under international and federal law was reclassified as a public health emergency program, and thereby it's considered lawful. The most extensive video presentation of this that I've done is a February 2023 Doctors for COVID Ethics video, and you can find that on Rumble, and I will put this slideshow in the notes under the video. For the bigger picture, this is a slide from Ian Davis, who wrote a book called Pseudo Pandemic. It's a fabulous, fabulous diagram. He calls it the Global Public-Private Partnership. At the top is the Bank for International Settlements. Right under that are the central banks for all of the governments. This is where policy is made. The top layer includes the World Economic Forum, the Council for Foreign Relations, Club of Rome, Chatham House, Rockefellers. Then there's the layer that distributes policy, like the UN, and for the purposes of the COVID-19 fraud mass murder campaign, the World Health Organization is key. Below them are the national governments, including the US government. And then scientific authorities like the CDC, the FDA, NIH. Then below that are like the mainstream media. And then at the bottom is the public, the targets of this medical financial warfare. Specific to the public health emergencies and COVID-19, there is a conflict. The conflict is set up between public health emergency laws that require governments to violate other laws. The other laws being the ones that prohibit biological and chemical weapons. And the public health emergency laws require those governments to attack their own people with chemical and biological weapons or else forfeit central banking services. And so they're in this bind, and they have chosen to attack their people rather than forfeit central banking services. Some of the laws implicated in it are the UN Convention in 1975 on biological weapons, the 1997 UN Convention on chemical weapons, the World Health Organization International Health Regulations, especially the 2005 amendments. And then in the US, our sort of so our implementing laws for those international laws are 18 USC 175, which prohibits biological weapons, 18 USC 229, which prohibits chemical weapons, and those are in conflict with 42 USC 247D, which puts all the power to order use of these weapons into the Health and Human Services Secretary's hands during a public health emergency, which the HHS Secretary unilaterally declares and sustains. And then the Emergency Use Authorization Law, which applies to the products under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act. And that one is 21 USC 360 BBB. Then this is just a list of major US laws that have some of the interlocking pieces. The Homeland Security Act, Federal Reserve Act, International Organizations Immunities Act, which is what gives the World Health Organization and the UN and the other international organizations and private organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation the ability to operate without any legal liability, to commit crimes, to commit civil rights violations. Everything they can do because they are outside of the law. Defense Against Weapons of Mass Destruction Act, which is part of the War and National Defense laws. And as I said, the Food and Drug and Cosmetics Act and the Public Health Service Act are the two core ones specific to the medicalized warfare program. And then Social Security Act involves Stafford Act, which has to do with disaster declarations. The Chemical and Biological Warfare Program, the War Powers Act, National Emergencies Act, the Defense Production Act, which is key because that's how they have federalized formerly private pharmaceutical companies to now be biomunitions industrial partners with the federal government, and then the Patriot Act. There are parallel legal instruments in Europe. I have not done a lot of research on this. The one thing that I did, I posted in February, and the link to that is here. And I just located some of the European Commission regulations that are very similar. They implement in Europe the same way that the US laws implement in the United States, the requirements of the World Health Organization, IHR, as of the 2005 amendments. So if you're interested in tracking more detail about the European version of the kill box, this you can start with some of these. In the United States, there are three linchpin laws. This is the points at which regulation-exempt products, which is the EUA weapons, which are called vaccines, classified as medical countermeasures and military prototypes, meet the political emergency conditions that justify coercive use of them. And there's three: the Public Health Emergency section of the Public Health Service Act, which was put in place in 1983, the emerge or expanded access and EUA section of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act that was put in place in 1997, and the other transaction authority financial contracting provisions put into military law in 2015. And this slide is just about a little bit about each of those things. The Public Health Emergency Program gave the HHS Secretary new powers to declare, fund, control, and maintain national emergency status, through which power that is normally in the hands of individuals or counties or states or Congress or courts is concentrated into the administrative state through the HHS and the Department of Defense because it's an emergency. The second one is the EUA program, and the key provision here is 21 USC 360 BBB-3K, which says once a product has been designated by the HHS secretary as an EUA product or a medical countermeasure for use during a public health emergency, any use of that product is not, by definition, part of a clinical investigation. And I get into more detail about the significance of that in other presentations. It just means there has never been a clinical investigation of any of the products called vaccines or masks or any of the other EUA products, because there can't be. By definition, they are not part of clinical investigations. And then the third one is other transaction authority, which gives the Department of Defense power to carry out prototype projects. And they have no obligation, and the FDA has no obligation to verify that contractors conduct valid clinical trials on product safety or efficacy, and clinical trials are not material or necessary for DoD payment to contractors. This is a slide about the legal effects of some of them. One is that it transfers all the risk-benefit analysis from individuals deciding whether or not to take a product to the HHS secretary to decide for the aggregate, the collective, everybody. He or she gets to weigh the relative risks and benefits of the product and the threat or condition for which they have also decided how much of a threat that is. Public health emergency plus EUA plus other transaction authority also eliminates all of Congress's authority to override HHS decisions, eliminates access to courts for any judicial review of the facts or the law related to the HHS declarations and classifications. It eliminates all access for injured victims to get to courts for injuries and deaths caused by medical countermeasures. It eliminates the authority of state, local, and tribal governments to manage public health situations in ways that are different from what the HHS secretary tells them to do. It eliminates all of FDA's legal obligations to supervise clinical trials, to supervise manufacturing, to supervise product safety, product efficacy. It eliminates their obligation to verify their claims about product purity, potency, whether or not the product has been adulterated. There's no serialization of products. Misbranding is fine. Mislabeling is fine because the FDA has no obligations. It also eliminates legal obligations for people who administer the products to comply with prescription and dispensing laws they would otherwise have to comply with. It eliminates informed consent obligations for the people who are giving injections or whatever to tell or to even know themselves what's in the product, what the risks and benefits are specific to each individual, and it eliminates informed consent rights for people who get the products. So my suggestions for legislators in the United States, and this would include Congress and state lawmakers, is basically to make things that are currently not crimes, fraud, extortion, murder, medical assault, all the things that are happening are currently not crimes because of these legal structures. So it would be good if they made those things crimes again by repealing the laws that are making them not crimes. The two primary ones would be the Public Health Emergencies section of the Public Health Service Act, 42 USC 247D, and the EUA section of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act, which is 21 USC 360 BBB. Some members of Congress already know this, and they're not doing it. They're not calling for repeal. They could, but they're not. The legal effects, if they did, would be to remove this unilateral power from the HHS secretary to declare and sustain public health emergencies, and also to introduce these biochemical weapons into interstate commerce, camouflaged as vaccines or medical countermeasures. And repealing those two laws would also restore civil and criminal liability. So that would enable prosecution of men and women who are doing these things, including the cabinet secretaries, for the crimes that they're committing. The other main effect would be a financial effect, which is that the Bank for International Settlements and the Federal Reserve Bank would cut off the money to the US government and crash the US economy. And that's why Congress is not acting. Then I have some suggestions for litigators and litigants, and the main one is just to use accurate terms. I did a post in November about this because that was when I was sort of struck while I was reading cases at how the definition of the problem, which is the thing that goes in the sort of fact section at the beginning of a complaint, all of those except ACCEPT accept the government's and the World Health Organization's framing of what's going on and say, there is, we agree, there is this terrible global pandemic happening, and that's why everything got so crazy, and that's fine, but we think that other things were wrong and those should be remedied. And what I would suggest is stop playing along with that language and that false framing, because that is not the emergency that emerged in early 2020. What happened in early 2020 was the start of a massive global fraud led by the US government. And it was perpetuated and fleshed out in lots and lots of different ways with lots of different substitutions of false terms for real things. And so I would suggest that litigators and litigants, when you are filing cases, start off by saying true stuff about the lies that the US government told, the lies that the World Health Organization told, the mislabeling of bioweapons as vaccines. Refer to the products in the complaint as biochemical weapons, not as vaccines. And then I just have a couple of slides fleshing that out a little bit. The mRNA products are a class of bioweapons. They are not a class of medicinal treatments. The use of them is a military attack as part of a war. The US government is using intentionally lethal weapons to injure and kill people. It's not a public health response. It's not an experiment. It's not an accident or a mistake or regulatory capture. The recipients of these things are military targets. They are not patients. They are not subjects in clinical research trials. They are not research volunteers. The pharmaceutical companies that are making these things are not private businesses. They are federalized biomunitions production facilities. They are part of the military industrial complex. They are producing bioweapons that were designed and are intended and are very good at injuring and killing people. The pharmacists and pharm techs who are injecting people at retail pharmacies are not healthcare workers. They have no ethical obligations to patient safety. They are conscripted mercenaries, and they're carrying out military orders at points of dispensing. That's a term from this legal construct. The point of dispensing is just the point where the weapon meets the target. In this case, retail pharmacies like CVS and Walmart and wherever else. These products that are bioweapons that are referred to as vaccines are being distributed. Military contractors and officers don't ask targets for permission to use weapons. That's what we think of as informed consent, but informed consent does not apply in this war scenario that we're in. Instead, military personnel just follow orders and they do what they're told. And that is the end of this presentation. If you want more information, my website again is Bailiwick News on Substack, and the main post that I have is called the American Domestic Bioterrorism Program. Thank you.